Now, that's what Ephesians is all about. In fact, you can divide Ephesians two different ways that I can share with you briefly this morning. You can take the first section, the first three chapters, you might say are more or less doctrinal. They deal with our position. They show where we are scripturally in the Lord Jesus Christ, what we have in our purpose in the Lord Jesus that God has for us. Then the last three chapters, you would say, are experimental, you see, in practical daily living. And also, I like another outline. That's one now. That divides it, you see, in two different parts. The first three chapters, doctrinal, and the last three, experimental. And then also, there's a little outline that Watchman Nee came up with years ago. And some of you, I see, probably read that book, Sit, Walk, and Stand. Now, that's just, I think, very clear and so simple, it's easy to remember. He deals with it like that. He takes the first section, our position in Christ. We're seated with him in heavenly places. That's the sixth verse of the second chapter. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. See? Now, that's really the message of the first part, that we're not only identified with Christ in his death, in his burial and resurrection. Now, we all go along with that. Baptism signifies that. You know, our water baptism. Buried with Christ in baptism and death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should rise to walk in newness of life. But you know, sometimes we fail to realize not only are we identified with him in death and resurrection, but we're also identified with him in his ascension and his position at the right hand of the Father, which is a place of authority and power and complete victory. That's something that, as they say today, just about blows our minds, you know. To think that we actually are identified with him now in his victory. But you see, beloved, that's the whole purpose and plan of redemption, that man might again be identified with his God completely. God made us in his image, made us have fellowship with him. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ came to restore that fellowship and that position. And he did it too. I said he did it. He didn't fail. His mission is accomplished. Hallelujah. And you know, seated, of course, speaks of a task accomplished. You finished the job. Jesus, now, of course, he is now our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. That's true. He ever lived to make intercession for us. He ever lived to watch over this New Testament. You see, this is one will, because that's what the New Testament is. It's his will that he gave us. And, of course, it went into effect with his death. But you see, he's the only man that rose again to watch over his will. No one better tamper with this will, or they're in trouble with the one that made it, because he's alive. Oh, yes, he died to make it good. But he rose again to keep it in effect. Glory be to God. You know, there's been a lot of wills changed. There's been a lot of wills tampered with. You know that. There's been a lot of people that have been left out that should have been included. You know, they've been cheated and so on. But I tell you, friend, no one can cheat us out of this will. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The one that made it watches over it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his wonderful name. But we must realize we are identified with him completely. He completely identified himself with us. He was tempted in all points as we, and yet without sin. He was born in a stable, born in a manger. You see, instead of a palace, he came the poorest of the poor. He identified himself with us in all the vicissitudes, the needs of life. Then in temptation, all of that. And then, of course, the victory he won was not for himself. He was born victorious. He was born the Son of God. But he overcame sin for you and me that we might be sons of God. He conquered death so you and I wouldn't have to taste it. He tasted death for every man. That doesn't mean just the physical dying. That's the little part. It's a separation from God, eternal death. He tasted that for every man, so we don't have to. He went to hell, so we don't have to go there. But he broke the power of hell, rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Ascended up on high as our high priest and says, now this victory I've won, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. And when we know that, then, beloved, we can act on it. You see, even in the Old Testament, God says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. See? When we know what we have, Satan doesn't have any legal grounds to defeat us, beloved. He has no legal grounds to torment us, to condemn us. Condemnation doesn't belong to God's children. Jesus took that at Calvary. And all of us have been plagued with it, haven't we? The old devil taking mistakes and beating us over the head, pointing out our shortcomings. But when we realize that what this word says, the Bible says, ye are complete in him. And that's why we love him so much. And the more we lack, the more we love him, because we say, well, all this is, I can see my lack, I can see my need, but what I don't have, Jesus has made up to me. And by faith, we begin to appropriate it. We begin to take it. We are complete in him. So those of us who are less complete, we just love him more. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? You see, to whom much is forgiven, he loveth much, Jesus said. Praise the Lord. But it's setting out and seeing what we have in him. And I'm going to let you read with me this morning from Ephesians, for it just tells us. It just comes right out and tells us what we have, that's all. And this first part of it, I tell you, we'll begin with the third verse. And I want you to change those pronouns, which are in the plural, our and us and we, change them to my and me and I. See, make it personal. That's what we must do. We must make this personal. For it's given to every one of us individually. Hallelujah. Since your name has been put in that Lamb's Book of Life, you're on the legal will. You're legally on the legal will of God. Hallelujah. And you have every right. You don't have to feel ashamed. You don't have to, you know, say, well, I'm not worthy. Whoever was worthy of a will. You don't work for an inheritance. You just reach out your hand and say, well, I sure do appreciate this. Wouldn't you do that? And if you knew your will would be read, a will that you're included in, someone, you know, that rich uncle that someone has died, and you're called to appear at the courthouse to have the will read, you'd be rather excited about it. I imagine you get up early that morning to go hear the will read. And you'd be glad that all that is said about you, you'd be glad. Well, here's what it's saying about you right now. Are you ready? Begin with the third verse and put in there the personal pronoun. All right, let's read together. Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen me in him before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated me unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made me accepted in the beloved, in whom I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now jump down to verse 11. In whom also I have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now we'll stop there. There's all of it's good, but I'm just showing you here. Just look now at this. Most of these that we've read, these blessings, these promises, this position, notice it's all in the past tense. Did you notice that? Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed. Not going to. He has blessed it. He's put it in the bank. It's already on our account. It isn't something that God has to set about doing when he saves us. It's already there. Hallelujah. And all that will accept Jesus Christ immediately share in it. Praise the name of the Lord. Now that's why when God saves us, you know, we didn't understand it, but we realized that we were new creatures, and we suddenly had a joy that we didn't understand. It's a joy, you know, that's unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. Well, the glory is this will, you see. But we didn't understand what we had when we got saved. I'm sure I didn't. As I said, I was so glad to be forgiven. A wayward teenager, forgiven, on my way to heaven when I was on my way to hell a few moments before. Dear me, what more could a fellow want than that, you know? But praise God, there is more than that. Hallelujah. It's full of glory. And the glory is what God's given us, not in heaven by and by. No. These promises are for here and now, so we'll live down here like children of God. It won't be hard in heaven to live like children of God. You know, I mean, that's all there'll be up there. You know. But down here in this old wicked world, you see, when the devil's trying to mock us and trying to go against God and declaim him and all of that, God's given us these promises so you and I can lift up our head and lift up our voice, hallelujah, and not only claim but proclaim what he's given us. Kind of like a little girl in Russia. She was going to a prayer meeting, and you know, of course, they have to go secretly, because if they're discovered, sometimes the leaders are imprisoned and brings hardship on people, and so they don't dare betray the place of their meeting. And so she was tripping along the street going to this prayer meeting, and she suddenly was accosted by a soldier. And immediately he asked her, "Lady, young lady, where are you going?" Well, she couldn't lie. She's a Christian, you know. And so I'm sure she sent up a quick prayer like I do every once in a while when I don't know what to say. "Lord, you help me." Isn't he good to help us too? He's our wisdom. Praise God, he's our wisdom. And here's what she said. She said, "Oh, sir," she said, "my elder brother died, and I'm going to hear the will read." Oh, he says, "Why?" He says, "Go on, young lady, that's all right. That's permissible." Of course, you got the message. She didn't tell him her elder brother was Jesus and he had risen again. That would have really, you know, blew his mind in a hurry, wouldn't it? And she's going to hear the will read. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. But that's what this is all about this morning. This is our inheritance. This is what is ours. He has blessed us. Put to our account. Praise his name. And notice the others there. He said he has chosen us. Now, you see, he's chosen us in him. This is true predestination. It isn't that God has chosen some to be lost and some to be saved. He's chosen all that will come to Christ to be saved, you see. God predestinated one man. He made one mold, you might say, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. But now it pleases him that through him to bring many sons into glory. He's the first begotten. But now there are many begotten. We're begotten of God. Everyone that's born again is begotten of God. We're begotten of God. We're born of God. We're born not of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of the will of God, you see. We're born again by the Word, the Bible says. And, beloved, we must recognize that we're born by the power of God working, begotten of God. Hallelujah. We're children of God. Praise God. So he tells us here, he's chosen us in him. See? Now, the thought I was wanting to bring out there, I almost missed it, but now I've got it, is this. Jesus was the only begotten when he came into the world. But now, through his death and resurrection and the virtue of the new birth, there are many brought into the kingdom of God. We're sons of God. That's why we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you believe that? Sister, can you believe that Jesus Christ is your elder brother? God is your father? And the devil ain't no kin at all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And really, you see, folks, it's none of the devil's business. Even when we fail, even when we get tripped up, don't let the devil beat you over the head. If there's anyone that's been plagued with that, I suppose it's me. You know, because, you know, you make a mistake, you blow it, you stump your toe spiritually. And you go to God, "Oh, God, I'm sorry." Well, God forgives us. But then if you let him, the old devil will condemn you as long as you let him. He'd condemn us the rest of our lives if we'd let him. How many know what I'm talking about? Say, "You blew it. You really foul things up. No use thinking that God will ever use you. Why, just look what you did." Now, beloved, that's none of the devil's business. Now, that doesn't make excuse for sin. No, it doesn't. It's just that God knew we'd have to have provision. He said, "I write these things," in John's gospel, John, 1 John, he said, "I write these things unto you that you sin not." But he said, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." He says, if we sin, we should go to him and confess our sins to him. And the quicker the better. Don't wait around about it. Don't wait till next Sunday, you know. Now, what that does, of course, it just simply, in true repentance, we don't just say, "Lord, I'm sorry," and then go on letting that thing, you know, trip us up. We turn from it. We say, "Oh, Lord, you help me." And isn't he good to show us why we missed it and show us where we missed it, you see? He takes our mistakes to teach us. How many have ever learned by a mistake? Oh, dear. We better learn by them, hadn't we? That's the goodness and grace of our God. He teaches us even through our mistakes, you see. But it's all because we're children of God. We've been born of God. It's none of the old devil's business. Let's recognize that. This will keep us, beloved, out from under that condemnation that is over this world. It doesn't belong to God's people. You're children of the light. We belong to God now. Hallelujah. Not only is heaven free from condemnation, but the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And all he asks us is to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. The flesh, of course, would constantly try to bring us into some sort of bondage, condemnation. But it says we are no longer obligated to our first birth because we've been born again. How many count your second birth more important than the first? We all do, don't we? All right. The first birth obligated us to the flesh. The second birth obligates us to the Spirit. And beloved, through the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh. It's the only way you can do it too. I mean, there's none of us by ourselves could master the flesh completely, you know, with all of its subtle forms of one way or another, either in indulgence or in pride, or one way or another, the flesh would take advantage of every man. But through the Spirit, glory be to God, hallelujah, the victory is ours. It's just ours, you see. It's a victory won. Praise God. And it's so much better this way. Instead of being obligated and tied up and trying to figure all it out, we just turn and walk out to the Spirit. And you see what we're actually doing. A verse that's meant so much to me since God got it in my heart is Romans 12, I believe it's the 21st verse. Be not overcome of evil, overcome evil with good. Walking out to the Spirit, you see, it's God's preventive. It's just, you see, instead of being taken up with the evil, we get taken up with the good. Hallelujah. Isn't that better? Walking after the Spirit, why then these things have to fall in place. The body makes a wonderful servant, but it makes a tyrant of a master, you see. And when you're walking after the Spirit, the body has to serve you. You make it serve you. Say, no, sir, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to go to church anyhow. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to pray anyhow. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to praise God because He's worthy of my praise. How many have found out you can praise God even when you don't feel like it? And you know, really, He accepts that even more readily than the other, because that's the sacrifice to pray. Isn't that beautiful? Really, it isn't hard to praise Him when He's blessing us. I mean, that's about all we can do, isn't it? When the blessing comes, oh, we must praise Him, and we should. Well, we should. But I tell you what pleases your Heavenly Father and mine is when things are a little rough and someone's maybe pushed against us one way or another. Say, well, Lord, I'm just going to praise You. I know You're still with me because You said You'd never leave me. You said You'd never forsake me. And I'm banking on Your word. You'll never go bankrupt doing that. You can bank on His word. You can bank on His promise. And you begin to thank Him. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, that's faith. The just shall live by faith. But see, to do that, we've got to know this. We've got to get this down in our spirit. We've got to reprogram our minds that's been defeated by sin and defeated by condemnation. We've got to get it programmed with the Word of God that now there's no condemnation because Jesus took it for us. There's no defeat because in Him we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. That means He's the conqueror. To Him be all the praise for winning the battle. There'll only be one conqueror. The Bible says when He had by Himself subdued our sins. He did it by Himself. Jesus puts them under. He conquered for us. We are more than conquerors. We receive that victory without all the battle. Now, sometimes we struggle, but you know as well as I, our struggles many times are just getting to faith. It's with our doubts and with our fears, with our natural mind. The quicker we get past that, the moment we get into faith, the struggle's over, then we begin to rejoice, don't we? You see, to glory be to God. He really did the struggle. You see, beloved, He's our burden bearer. He just wants us to be fruit bearers. That's all. Fruit bearers. Don't ever feel like you've got to carry the thing. No. We come to Him. We cast our cares. You're casting all your care upon Him because He cares for us. You see. Why? So we can represent this which we have in Him. He wants us to walk down here like children who know what they've inherited. That we have. It says, we have obtained this inheritance. It's ours. Praise God. Now let's walk. Let's walk like we're children of the King because we are children of the King. And you know, I believe this is a testimony to God. Doesn't it please You when you meet someone and you just say, I know that person must be a Christian. We've all had that happen. In a store, been in a strange town, and all that person here this time, you know, there's just something about them. They're just radiating. They don't know it, you know. It's good that our face is shining and we don't know it. Like Moses, his face shone and he knew it not. Well, you begin to realize who you are. You're not conscious of it. Pardon personal reference, but this thrilled me. You probably have had something like this happen. We were holding a meeting back in New York, in Rochester, and the Lord was moving. I tell you, folks, we were having a revival. It was tremendous. And I went out for a walk one morning, and of course, I was thinking what God had done the night before. People were getting saved and healed and filled with the Spirit. Oh, I tell you. And I didn't know it, and I wasn't even thinking about it, but I probably was thinking about one of those sidewalk blocks every step, you know. I was really stepping it off, and I suppose my head was turned upwards, you know. I was just thinking how God was moving and how thankful we were and how we appreciated what he was doing, you know. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice saying, "Hey, wait a minute, sir, just a minute." And I stopped and turned around. A man had just passed me. I knew he had passed me, but I hadn't even noticed him because I was so taken up in my thoughts, you know. And he stopped me and said, "Just a minute, I've got to talk to you. And I turned around and I looked at a sharply dressed businessman, you know, oh, in a real expensive suit, you know. And I thought, well, what does he want to talk to me about? He said, "I don't know who you are." He says, "I own the automobile agency down the street here." And he said, "I've had a lot of reverses lately. He said, "To tell you the truth, I'm about to go under." And he said, "I've got to talk to someone that's being successful." He said, "You look successful." What do you think I told him? I told him what he wasn't expecting, I'm sure. He said, "Oh, is that it?" Oh, he said, "Is that the reason?" You know, I began to tell him it was because the Lord Jesus had taken the load of my guilt and carried them to the cross, and I was so full of joy because of what he was doing, his blessings, and that, of course, I worked in all I could. I don't remember now exactly, but I'm sure I told him that he did that for anyone that would just trust him, you know. Oh, he says, yes. You know, he was thinking he'd met, you know, someone that was on top in some business adventure. Well, this is more than that. Glory be to God. But really, folks, no credit to me. It's just what the Lord was letting me think on, what he was doing. That's where the praise goes, isn't it? And don't we all have that? You see, really, folks, we need never be downcast. We need never let our circumstances push us under. And really, beloved, either we're going to ride our circumstances or they're going to ride us. And our position determines whether we're enjoying it or not. God not only wants us to go to heaven, he wants us to enjoy the trip. Amen. Now, I could work an illustration here, but it would incriminate me in the wrong way, but I guess it's better. My wife loves to enjoy trips when we take them, and she really does. But you know, the trips that she doesn't enjoy is when I don't fill up the tank. Does your husband do that too? You know? Oh, I see. Well, maybe you've had that experience. Oh, I see. Maybe you're like me. I sometimes fail. Well, I'll tell you what I do. I fill it up, but I don't like to pull into a station and have that fella come out there and put in 4 or 5 gallons. I think he ought to get his money's worth. And so I'll let it get down real low, and then he'll feel real good because he gets to fill the tank, you know. And my wife will say, "Honey, his tank's getting pretty low." Oh, I said, "I'm sure there's enough to make it to the next station, honey." But she is that makeup, you know. She's just that way. She likes to make sure, you know. Stop poking your husband, you know. I mean, don't you get after him, sister. Is he like that, too? Oh, he loves to see the red light come on that says it's low. Well, I've done it so many times, and usually, of course, you know, we men are usually right. But I'll have to confess, I was wrong a few times, and we ran out of gas out in the middle of nowhere, and my wife had to sit in a hot car while I walked for miles to get gasoline. And people, you know, of course, wondering what that poor lady's doing sitting there in the car, you know. So she tells me, "Honey, I enjoy it so much more when you just keep that tank full." Now, beloved, spiritually speaking, as you and I just keep our hearts saturated in the Word of God. We keep conscious of what we have. We keep a full supply. In other words, we're not just barely making it. Some of those old songs we used to sing, if I can just make it in, dear me. That's not Bible. Bible says you might have an abundant entrance into the everlasting. That doesn't sound like just barely get over the line and then every tire blows out and you just got there. Well, Lord, I may have to pick you up and carry you on in. No, that isn't the picture. Praise God, it's a picture of coming in, skipping and hopping and saying, hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. In fact, I believe the Lord wants us to just get a little bit more exuberant when we get close to the finish line. How many believe we're getting close to the finish line? Hallelujah! Well, he wants us just to have our eyes on that finish line, but instead of letting us just increase our praise and our worship to God, and if people say, what you're excited about? Well, glory to God. Well, this race is almost over. I'll soon be seeing Jesus, but I'm just enjoying his blessing right now till I do see him. He's with me, and he's meeting my need. Hallelujah! And I've got a lot to praise him for. And I want to tell you, dear ones, you just watch it. That's the picture of the church in these last days. He's not coming for a weak, defeated church. He's coming for a victorious, triumphant church. And the Holy Ghost is making us conscious. We're in a revival of the Word of God. God's letting us know what this is all about. Hallelujah. But quickly, I want you to notice, Paul, what he says, when he learned about these Ephesians, he tells them all this there in that first part of the first chapter. And then in the 15th verse, he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love to all the saints. See, they're really growing in the Lord. But now notice what he says. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Well, Paul, what are you praying for them for? They're saved. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul, what are you praying for them for? Oh, beloved, let's don't stop praying for people when they get saved. That's when our prayers really count. I believe we make that mistake, don't we? Pray and pray and pray till they get saved. But then don't stop. Realize now they're born again. Keep praying that God will cause them to grow in grace. Now that's what Paul's praying about. Listen to his prayer in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You have him, but you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, what you have in him. Now he divides it in three different sections here. It's beautiful. Listen to it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What? That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to them that believe. He said, I'm praying that you'll know three things in particular. He sums it up. Really, it sums up everything. You could put it all in there. He said, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Well, that includes primarily the hope of his calling is heaven by and by. That's the blessed hope, is that we do have an eternal home. Hallelujah. We're already identified with the saints of God. Amen. We're part of the family of God now, you see. Praise God. We no longer belong to this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Our citizenship is already put over in heaven. We've moved to a new county, and it's called heaven. And they've got our records over there in that new county seat now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so when people ask us why we act, like we just don't belong here, we can tell them, well, we really don't. We're here for a while, but we're really just passing through. Amen. You may live in one house all your life, but you're still a pilgrim, aren't you? You're still passing through. You're on your way to that eternal home, you see. You only have to change address. That's primarily, now other things could be included, but that's the blessed hope. And of course, that activates faith. He that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. But now go on quickly. Notice, not only that, you may know the hope of his calling, but now what else? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What we have now in this life, the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Peter put it like this. He said, whereby are given unto us now in this life exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. He says that we are given these promises that we might partake of his divine nature, that we might act like Jesus down here in this world by the promises. Now, I know that staggers us, but beloved, that's what God's purpose and plan and provided, that you and I, as children of God, can act like children of God. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, this is enough to get you excited, isn't it? Praise his holy name. But now, you see, he's given this to us that we might know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And that's what the promises are all about, these promises, these wonderful promises. And my, if we could only spend the time here, but you know, there are promises to cover every need in life. Physical, mental, of course, most of all spiritual, materially. Any avenue you take in life, there are promises that you and I have that we can go to and claim. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And those promises are there to let us know that through that promise, you see, Jesus and the Word are one. Jesus is the Word incarnate. Jesus was the Word made flesh. So when we take the Word, we're taking what we have in Jesus. We are in Him, but we've got to take what we have. It's faith that takes. And God give us the faith that takes. That's the only real faith there is faith that takes. Someone said too many people have the faith that waits. But no. God has given us faith that takes. Take. He's a present help in every time of need. That doesn't sound like waiting to me. Present help, that doesn't sound like, well, I'll just have to wait till the Lord gets ready to help me. Friend, he's been ready. Hallelujah. He's a present help. I heard one preacher say, it wasn't irreverent either. He said, folks, you know, we have instant this, we have instant that, these instant mixes. He said, I want you to know we have instant Jesus too. He's a present help in every time of need. Oh, I tell you, how many dear ladies living by themselves have found out they can call on the Lord, no one around, but the Lord's there to take any fear out, any uncertainty. Well, we've all had that happen, haven't we? Fear can knock at our door, but we have a present help. We're never alone. Amen. We need never fear present circumstances or future uncertainties. He's with us. Hallelujah. All we need right now is our faith in God. It takes care of the past, for there's forgiveness for every failure. It takes care of the future because it's in His hands. And right now, He's with us. Glory be to God. All we need, folks, is just faith in these promises. That's all that we need. Praise God. But now, quickly, I had to get to this before we bring this to a close. This latter part deals with the power that's bringing all this about. Is God able to do this for us? Is God able to make all these promises effective for me and my needs? Well, listen now. Listen to what brings this about. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? Notice, to usward who believe. What is it? Here it is. According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Notice there's no period there. He got started, He couldn't stop. He just had to, he's like us preachers when we get anointed. You know, we just got to keep going, don't we? He just had to lay it out there, you see. Well, he said, this is the same power that's working in us that raised our Lord from the dead. He said, don't think you're just barely going to get over the hump, you know, barely going to have victory. He said, the same power that lifted Jesus out of the grave. And that wasn't just a squeaky victory. I mean, he didn't win but one point. It says he exalted him far above all principality. Far above. Far above. Far above. And beloved, he said that same power is toward usward, the church, the believer. The same power that worked in Jesus Christ is working in you to make every promise effective. But now remember, God can only release that power when we claim the promise. And trust we'll be able to get into some of the teaching on how we release the promise. Of course, you know how we release the promises. We release them by not only claiming them, but by confessing them. We must confess. We must confess what we have. God has chosen confession because it's that means of communication that we help others. And not only others, but ourselves. How many know you can talk to yourself? Someone said, just as long as you don't start answering yourself, you know. But we can preach to ourselves. David did. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. David must have gotten up, you know, and things were going against him. The clouds were rolling in, and, you know, everything looked like he was just going to go under that day. And David said, I can't go on like this. If I do, this is going to be awful. So he went over there by himself, got in the corner someplace, and he looked down at himself. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now wake up down there. Forget not all his benefits. Remember what God's done for you. And we'd better, hadn't we, folks? Forget not all of his benefits. Don't you forget what he's done. Bless the Lord. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Well, beloved, it's because as we believe God, confess our faith, it releases this mighty power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at God's own right hand in heavenly places and hath put all things under his feet. Where are all things? They're under his feet. All right, here's the truth. If they're under his feet, they're under your feet and mine. That's right. They're under our feet. And we've got to recognize that. And beloved, when we do, the thing that's pushing down on top of us, trying to squelch us, the moment you say, oh no, Satan, you can't do that to me. Now, we miss this sometimes, and I've been slow to get this, because I don't like to rebuke anything, to tell you the truth. But you've got to rebuke the devil. Amen. How many know that's true? The Bible says in James, you know, submit yourself therefore unto God. There's our submission. But it says then, after that submission to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. But how do you resist him? Friend, we resist him by rising right up and speaking the promise of God that's against the thing that's opposing us. You know, whatever it is. If it's a fear, confess your faith that Jesus Christ is with you. And that fear will have to go away. It'll have to go away. Say, oh no, I'm not going to be afraid. Jesus said he'd never leave me. And how many people have done this? I've done it myself. And I tell you, it just works. Sickness tries to come. Oh no, sickness, you're not going to do that to me in Jesus' name. And you know, my wife had this experience last week. You know, every revival, not every revival, but so many times, especially if a church is in tremendous need of revival, as a rule, there'll be a plague of sickness at the beginning of it. Satan will try to get everybody sick to keep them out of the revival. He'll try to. And he really will. And that really happened. And even my wife, you know, the thing hit her, flu, and she said, when it did, instead of caving in like we would in the natural and say, well, I'm catching the flu. Well, if you're catching it, you'll get it. You know, you said you were. Isn't it? I'm catching the flu. Well, instead of that, somehow God got into that. Well, she's been reading the Word. We've been listening to more of the Word lately, especially the last 2 or 3 or 4 years. And that's beginning to build up in our spirit. That's where it wants to be. And she thought, well, now look, the Bible says I'm in Christ. And the devil couldn't put flu on Jesus. Could he? Why, you know he couldn't. So she thought, if he can't put it on Jesus, if I'm in Jesus, he can't put it on me. And she said that little thought gave her faith. She said, Satan, you can't put that flu on me. I'm in Jesus. And you can't put it on him, so you can't put it on me. And do you know, that thing broke. She never did come down. It just went the other way. And you know it doesn't do that. Once it gets hold, it'll just run its course in the natural. But it didn't run its course. Well, it ran the right course. It ran out real quickly. And beloved, we must recognize that as we confess the promise of God, whether it's sickness, whether it's adversity, problems in the home. How many know we can have things happen in the home that would just bring confusion? Oh, the old devil is the author of confusion. God isn't, so the devil must be. And when things come to bring confusion, we ought to rise up in Jesus' name and say, I rebuke this confusion. We're not going to have this in our home. In the name of the Lord, we're claiming deliverance from this confusion. And you begin to confess that, you'll have it. Things will clear up. You see? Because you're tapping into the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And God will get into that thing. But he has to have our confession. That's what releases his word. You see? It isn't the word in the book. He wrote it there to preserve it. But it's the word in our mouth that changes the circumstance. We begin to confess what God gave us. That's why Jesus said, if you confess me before men, then I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. In other words, you're my voice on earth. I'm yours in heaven. Now you speak up for me down there, and I'll speak up for you up here. How many think that's a good arrangement? Hallelujah. Well, don't we want the Lord to really speak up for us? He said, I will. He said, you speak my word down there. No matter what the circumstance, no matter how much you claim, as long as it's in the promises of God, he said immediately, I'll take it and I'll back it up here. And I'll say to the Father, Father, that's one that's believer. That's a true believer. And they're confessing my word in that awful circumstance. Now, Father, you promised to make it good. And he pleads it for us and takes it right through. Hallelujah. And heaven backs it up. And if he has to, he'll send two or three extra angels along. It only takes one, but he'll send plenty. For the angels are sent to be ministering spirits to those that are heirs of salvation. And I've never seen them, but I've been conscious of them many times. And I'm sure you have too. Glory be to God. But it's when you and I claim the promises of God, beloved. The power of God, I want you to get it this morning. Everything under his feet is under ours because we're with him. We're identified with him. But it's our faith, beloved, that causes us to live. The just shall live by their faith. Not just barely make it to heaven. Not just barely get through. But he said, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it how? More abundantly. Glory be to God. Living in the promises, living in the power of God, living in the fruit of the land. Hallelujah. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Canaan's land isn't a picture of heaven by and by. It's a picture of our living in this world, claiming the promises of God, eating the wonderful fruit that God gives us, the Word of God, the milk of the Word, the honey of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And getting fat spiritually. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord, right here in this world. You know, I can prove that because, you know, we used to sing to Canaan's land, I lift my, how's that go? On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my, treasures lie, possessions lie. Dear ones, get over there and get over in those possessions. Amen. Don't stand on the bank and look at them. That's what's been wrong with the church. That's what's been wrong with us as Pentecostals many times. We need to realize, beloved, Jordan isn't a type of death, and it is in one sense. It's just a type of death to self-life. It's a type of leaving the wilderness behind. It's a type, if you please, of sanctification. It's a type of separating ourselves from our mumblings and grumblings and going in circles and getting over there in Canaan's land and say, Lord, I'm going to get over in the promises. You see, there are battles over there to fight. There are cities to take. There won't be that in heaven. But there are in this life. God has battles for us to fight and victories to win. But there's fruit over there. There's the grapes of Escalor over there. And one bunch reaches the ground from a man's shoulder. Joshua and Caleb proved that. Hallelujah. Everything we need is over there. Yes. That's why those boys had such a good report. They'd been eating those grapes. Glory be to God. You don't hear people grumbling. People that are on the firing line, people that are out there and the bullets flying all around them, the old devil doing everything he can to oppose them. But when they're out there eating the fruit of the land, fighting the Lord's battle, they're not complaining. They're out there shouting, praising God. And oh, they'll tell you of narrow escapes. They'll tell you of this and that. But the Lord gave the victory. The Lord gave the victory. The Lord gave the victory. Hallelujah. Isn't that better than standing on the bank and wishing you was over there? Hallelujah. Well, get the picture. Now I'll try to wind this up this morning, but you can see there's just no place to stop because this first just sets the stage for the next part. God's purpose in all this. Of course, it's for our victory, but it's for more than that. We're going to get it into tomorrow, God's purpose for the church. And I tell you, friend, when we see what God's purpose for the church, we'll not feel like we're defeated, that we're pushed back and can't help ourselves. If we'll use our weapons that God's given us, we'll take the city, that's all. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is backing up every child of God. Remember that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God just wants us to realize that we're no longer outcasts. We're no longer strangers from the promise. We're now fellow citizens and heirs of the promise of God and of the household of faith. Hallelujah. And God wants us, beloved, to lift up our head in these last days. And leave a testimony right before we leave this old world. Don't you think we ought to leave a testimony, a real good one? Amen. Hallelujah. Just leave a testimony that Jesus really did all he promised. He really backs up every word. And he does. We know that. But he can only do it for those that stand on the promise. He can only do it for those that express themselves by the promises of God. So let's do that. Let's claim God's promises in this revival. Let's claim God's promises for the service tonight. for today that God will work in homes. Backsliders that need to get back to God, let's believe God, the Holy Spirit that's here this morning will slip out over this community through our faith. Let's send Him out there by faith, and He'll send us, and we'll go out there as God leads us, and we'll speak to people and tell them that Jesus is real. He can help them and deliver them and set them free. Those that are sick, He'll heal them. Hallelujah. As they'll only come, they'll not get healed staying at home. They'll get healed stepping out for God. You see. So let's do our part, and we know what will happen. God in heaven's going to do His. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, it's about time to wind this up. It's hard to stop. Really, we're not going to stop. We'll just have to take a break and finish on in the morning. Go on in the morning with this. But beloved, I tell you what we're going to do in closing. We're going to stand together and thank God that we're heirs of God. Thank God for our inheritance. Thank God that our name is in that book. It's all ours this morning. Belongs to us. Aren't you thankful for it? If you are, I'm sure you'll lift your hands with mine. And let's just give our Father the praise and the worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just let it flow out of your spirit. Let it flow out of your spirit. Release it, beloved. Release it. That's right. Release it. Sendere che le sano renderi ella lo standai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ori arasandere le criolda ramana. Go on. Release that praise. It's in there. You're a child of God. You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God is with you this morning. He said, I'll never leave you. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, die elemandre bro, die staramanara. Gredi el saltele mandre nobra. Hallelujah. Greater art thou, Lord, within us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kelele mashandre curia salamanaya. Estala la la vendre curia. Uselele mandre Christo. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God.